I guess that's our new intro.
I have no idea when we're coming in.
Hey, welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
I am Ash Riot.
And that was our song, I'm Back, that we actually were going to play throughout the program, but I guess we got it for our intro.
Yay.
Instead of the Spun Son of Everyone. That was our last single that we put out, I'm Back. It's a hologram song. And glad we could share it with you. We are back. Here we are. We're live on Sunday, March 23rd. We are welcoming spring with you all. It's what we're third day in. Hope you enjoyed your spring equinox on the 20th and have been having fabulous springtime days ever since, the last 3 days. So the purpose of spring, as we all know, it's all about everything comes to life again. So we wanted to acknowledge that not only with ourselves on a personal level, but with all of you and with the world. So we have come up with the topic for this show. It's called Renewal and...
Rededication.
No.
Oh. I thought that... Reinforcement.
No.
Oh, crap.
How about I just say it?
Yeah.
Renewal and regeneration. That's the name of this topic for today, and we welcome callers. We haven't been getting callers the last while, and we start wondering if anybody's even listening, but then we get feedback that you guys are listening. So thank you for listening. I just welcome all of your calls. It would be wonderful to hear from you if you have anything to share, if anything that we say prompts something that you want to share, a story about yourself or a funny thing happened at the forum kind of thing. Whatever.
Or it's if a you forum.
Do you remember the play we went to?
Oh, that was awesome.
Ash is a little out of it today.
I'm tired. I'm just drinking mango juice and eating hickory sticks. Having a good time.
She's having a gay old time. And here's Travis too. He's having a great time. Hello, Travis. Say hello to everybody. Travis is our Orange County shelter dog. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
He's just staring. He's got nothing to say. It's all in the eyes.
Nothing to say, but we're excited to say things.
Sure we are. We talk about renewal. We'll talk about regeneration.
Regeneration.
Rejuvenation. Regeneration.
Wow.
Yeah. So
okay, I get it.
What sparked this for me was a couple days ago, I watched a documentary called The Dark Matter of Love. fabulous documentary. I believe it was created in 2012 and has had actually quite a few accolades. It's a documentary following by a woman by the name of Sarah McCarthy. And it's following this American family who has a teenage daughter, and they had tried to have children throughout their married lives, and they had only success once, so they wanted, their dream was to always have a family of four, and so they were able to adopt three Russian children from who had grown up in the Russian orphanages. And
that's cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. Apparently now, I don't know, what is he Putin or Putin or
Putin?
Putin. The correct Russian. Putin. I should know the Russian.
Call him Putin.
Putin. It's not Putin.
So?
I should know the Russian name since, you know, I'm half Ukrainian. And you should too, because you're half Ukrainian.
Maybe Jan will know when she when we get to her.
But anyway, he has apparently banned U.S. adoptions. So this happened prior to his ban on Russian orphanages and orphans being adopted by Americans. But anyway, it's a wonderful, wonderful documentary. And what it by Sarah McCarthy, as I was saying, and what it touches upon is how a child who's been institutionalized without the regular nurture and the natural setting of a mother, how they will love or how they can be attached, or is it in fact an ability of theirs that they can actually attach to human beings if they've been institutionalized for such an extensive period of time. And one girl who they had adopted was 11 years old at the time, so she had a long time in the institution, in the orphanage, and the other was a set of twin boys of age 5. And so sporadically throughout the documentary, they bring up these studies that have been done the last 60 years. Psychologists have been studying how a child connects with a mother. What is love? What is that nurture? What is that safety feeling? If it's not done at a certain period, like within the first year of a child's life, is it detrimental to the child and on. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I was thinking about that whole question of, can you, after being reared in a certain way, whether you're an animal or a human being, can you actually rewire yourself? And that's where this whole idea of renewal and regeneration.
Generation.
You might want to have it out on your phone so you can keep checking.
I keep forgetting that word. I'm tired.
Or maybe write it down.
No, I got it now. I've helped.
Anyway, so this is what we're talking about today, because it's not only about children and their abilities to connect when they're in that kind of environment. It's about anything. Like, we're talking about Travis, and as I introduced him, because he's part of the show today, Travis is a dog that I've had now for 2.5 years, and he was 2.5 years old when I got him, and he had been in the Orange County shelter, so he is considered a rescue, and his journey with me, with Ash, with Ash's family, with my family, has been an interesting one, because initially I was actually thinking, how can I keep this dog? Because he was not a dog who was friendly. He was timid. He didn't even speak. There was no barking. I thought at one point that he had been debarked by someone in the past, because he literally didn't bark at anything or anyone. I thought it was odd. And if you went close to him, he would snap at you, and he actually bit
us. Right through my lip.
Yeah, he bit Ash in the face twice, and he bit me. And I was very concerned, because I was thinking, how can I keep this dog? I can't have a biting dog. I don't want a dog that bites children. You know, I don't want to be worried about him being around kids, being around adults, being around anybody. I don't want to deal with a dog that's going to be biting me, that I don't have that trust factor. Mm-hmm. And so I was questioning, you know, I'm thinking I'm saving a life. I felt good about that. And then I'm thinking, well, what do? I can't really, how could I do that to this poor animal? If I, you know, if I decide that I don't want a biting dog, if he's not getting past it, if we can't work through it, what do I do with him? I can't really just take him and take him back to a shelter environment. That would be cruel. And so I was kind of in a really rough spot because I was thinking, well, I can't let him go, but I don't know how to live with him if he's going to be this way. Well, talking about renewal and talking about rewiring, you know, it's just a real statement and a testimony to patience, to love, to connection, to interaction, like to actually have a lot of interaction. Mm-hmm. I'm using Travis as an example, but in this documentary that I spoke of, they used the children. You know how the mother and the father and the daughter were interacting, there was a lot of communication, there was a lot of interaction. It's about building trust, and that's essentially what happened with Travis. I have no feeling of fear at all whatsoever. Mm-hmm. If I'm near his face now, he doesn't ever bite.
I kiss him on the nose.
She does. She kisses him more than on the nose.
I'm a dog lip kisser.
Dog lip kisser. He's gotten past it. And, you know, so the dog that I was so concerned about, thinking that how is he going to change? How can we change this behavior? The reality is it's all really truly about love and patience.
Even him finding a lot of comfort with my mom.
Yeah.
That was awesome. A coaster fell off her cup.
My glass coaster. I picked up my mango juice.
I bet that's happened to more than one of you. Why don't you call in and share the experience?
Wow, that's really deep, man.
That's what I thought.
Have you had a coaster come up with your glass? Call us. It sounds like a crisis. You like my poem?
Oh, wow.
You like my poem?
I do a lot.
All right. Well, it looks like we've got an early caller. We have early Ash's mom. It's Ash's mom. Play it, Doug.
It's Ash's mom. 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 It's Ash's mom.
Hello, Janice.
Hi there.
Who just had a birthday.
Can you hear me?
Can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Happy late birthday.
Thank you so much.
We're having a party here. That's why we're calling you. Yeah, we want you to join the party.
Oh, hi, Barb. And who else is there?
How you doing? Catherine's here, too.
Oh, Catherine. Hey, Catherine.
Hi. Hi, you guys.
How are you doing?
Great. We're celebrating with your mom today.
That's wonderful. Well, we know that we didn't tell our listeners, but Janice has celebrated a decade birthday, so it's been a big deal this last week. And she was invited to Reverend Barb's for dinner, and now we have Reverend Barb and Catherine and Janice, thank you for joining us.
I'm George.
George is quietly in the background.
We wanted to make it a conference call.
Well, there you go. Well, I don't know if you heard what our topic is or if you have anything you want to share. We're talking about spring with the renewal and the regeneration of not only the earth, but also ourselves. So that's what we're talking about. Is there anything that springs to mind that you want to share?
Yes. And I've known Travis since you brought him home, same thing. And I believe that you can change anything with love. You can change an insect with love. You can change anything that God creates with love. I believe that because you see it every day. And no matter how damaged something or somebody is through life, that with love you can change things around. That's what I believe.
Yes, and I have seen a video actually that was about a black panther, and he had been abused in different zoos, and this one man who ended up with him brought in an animal whisperer, and this panther was very unmanageable, and no one could get close to him until the animal whisperer spoke to him and heard what this panther had to say about his anger. And even at that point, he was able to be changed. through the right treatment and through the understanding.
Yeah.
How about that, eh?
I read that story. I heard about it. Cheryl saw it. I heard about it. And I thought that was amazing because he was skeptical at first, but then it was really proven to him that it's totally real.
It was the zookeeper who had acquired him who was skeptical about this animal whisperer. And but he was at the point where he would allow anything because this panther wasn't even moving from under its shelter. It wasn't going out into anything. It wasn't moving, and it wasn't approachable, as you said, Catherine. It was growling at everyone, and obviously very unhappy, a very unhappy animal. So what a beautiful story that zookeeper, the one who had acquired this panther, was open to this woman who has this ability to talk with animals. And there's the communication I was talking about earlier, is it takes love, but it's about us communicating with each other. It's about having that kind of interaction and our willingness to listen, to really listen. And this woman was able to relate exactly what the panther had gone through in the other zoos and this panther's concerns. And as a result of his concerns being stated and the zookeeper heeding them, then the panther was able to come out and be, you know, wasn't feeling threatened anymore, wasn't growling at approach. It's a beautiful story. And thank you for reminding us of it, Catherine.
Yeah, so I agree with Ash's mom that everything can be changed, and both animals and people can be rejuvenated through love and understanding
and trust.
And I'll just add a little bit to that about humans that can be changed, because most people know that I had quite the background. I had six families to build my life on, six sets of parents. And when I was in grade six, they had pushed me through to a class that's like To Sir With Love. And I was one of those orangutans that wasn't going to make it. They just pushed me into this teacher's class. And he came in there, changed that whole class around, had him for 2 years, and he changed my life around by, first of all, caring about me and finding what I love to do best and getting me to be the best at what I do. And from being the school bully for the girls, particularly, I controlled all the girls in the school, and there was one boy in the school that I couldn't beat up, and he controlled all the boys in the school. And from that, I turned out to be a person that started to use my wits and my intelligence and my ability to learn something, because he taught me that I didn't have to use my fists. I could use my wits and use my brain.
That's really cool.
Changed my whole life. So I don't know. I think to myself often, what would have happened had I not had that interaction with that teacher in grade six and seven, where I might have been.
Mr. Pickering.
So if he's ever out there and he's listening, or up in spirit listening, thank you, Mr. Pickering.
Yes.
That's really cool. I didn't know that you were the school bully.
I was like 4'6" and could beat up every girl in the school and half the boys.
Did you try for, or is that from experience?
BB, Barb the Bully.
Barb the Bully, yeah. Big Bad Barbara, they called me.
Did you actually beat them up? Or you actually beat every kid in the school up?
I didn't, but they thought I could.
There we go.
It's all about them thinking they could be beat up by you.
What you do to the bully is that you stand up to them. You stand up to the bully.
That's funny.
Power.
Well, I'm really glad that you guys could call in, and it's really nice that you called. Conference
call. Altogether, yes.
Is there anything else you want to add, or anything else you feel pressed to share with the audience of the Hologram Radio Show tonight?
Well, we could all sing.
You want a congregation. You want somebody still online. Don't let us do that. Let us bring home some good food. So. There you go.
You won't be hungry, girls.
Well, hopefully we'll be
seeing you. You should have heard us this morning at Inner Garden Chapel. You'll hear us online if you look up today's date for Inner Garden Chapel. Our singing really needed somebody's help, you guys.
We're going to have a practice on Thursday nights, I said. So if you're free, come help.
Have choir practice.
We just wanted to say we love you and support you and thank you for being who you are and thank you for the wonderful birthday that you gave me and how you took me away for 3 days to paradise and just everything that you guys have done for me over this birthday. I mean, I don't know anybody that's ever had 3 or 4 birthdays in a week. Thank you.
Okay, guys, we'll let you go to the rest of your audience.
All right. Love you.
We love you too. Thank you, ladies, for calling in. Thank you, Barbara. Barb, before you go, can you please tell our listeners your website address?
www.inner-garden.com. Don't forget the dash.
There you go. www.inner-garden.com. And you can check out Barbara's church and what's going on there. Thank you so much for calling, ladies.
Okay.
Love and blessings to you. Love you too. Bye.
Well, that was nice. We were just saying that we hadn't got callers in the past couple weeks. We know we've had a lot of listeners, and now we got a conference call. We got 4 or 5 callers at once. So anyway, yeah, here we are. Sunday, March 23rd, second day of spring, or is it the
third?
Third day of spring, friends, and we are really excited to finally have you live again. It's felt longer than 2 weeks, hasn't it?
Definitely. It's been a long 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been quite a long 2 weeks, but it's been great. And when we were talking about the show today and trying to basically figure out what we were going to talk to you about, the topic of spring obviously kept coming up over the past week or so because it's almost spring. And I've just been feeling, especially the weather has been so erratic. It's been so up and down. Like yesterday, it was raining. The day before that, it was sunny. Today, it was sunny. Now, it's kind of foggy. And I think that that kind of mirrors our life. It's always a little bit foggy and always a little bit erratic before the big breakthrough. My big breakthrough is springtime.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I feel it. I feel like...
What do you feel?
I feel a huge clearing coming up for a lot of people. I think people are going to start settling into themselves, but I mean, my intuitive impression on the human race right now is that things are going to get a little worse before hopefully they get a little bit better.
Usually do. Usually, even in your own life, you take a look at it. Usually things get darker before the dawn. That's where that saying comes from. They get darker before they get better. I was reading actually this quote, Carl Jung, "I am not what happened to me. I am what I choose to become." And I thought that that quote was relevant to this program because we're talking about renewal, but I'd like to add, yes, it is what we choose to become, but it's not without the help of people mm-hmm. like Mr. Pickering. Barb was talking about her teacher. I think of a teacher too. I have a teacher from my past who basically saw me, and it sounds maybe a little cliche or possibly trite, but it's true. He saw me, mm-hmm. and it's wonderful when people see you. Most people don't see us. We walk through life and most people just are, it's almost like their sense of seeing you stops just before your nose, if you understand what I mean by that. They are not really seeing you. They're not seeing you as a person who requires and deserves respect and honor and love and cherished to be cherished. It's as if we kind of look at people like objects. And it's so wonderful when someone actually will look at you and they'll see you as a human being, as a divine being, as someone that they can have a beautiful exchange with.
Well, I think it's also a lot of times people can see themselves in each other. Like I saw a quote yesterday that said, be the kind of person you want to meet. And it's true. It's like I want to be that kind of person who at least can offer some kind of common ground or like safe space for someone.
But don't you feel that you are that person already, Ash? Because
yeah.
You're quite extraordinary.
Oh,
I mean,
thanks. So are you.
You're
so are you, pal.
Well, thank you, but we're talking about you right now.
Okay.
It is. I think it's really great. I've actually done that quite a bit. I do a lot of reflecting, and I reflect a lot about my actions. I reflect about what I've done in certain situations, how I've behaved. It's like a personal inventory that I take, and I do that frequently. And sometimes I'm actually a little bit too aggressive, and I need to lighten up on myself a bit. But overall, I like that. For me, it kind of keeps me in check. And I actually feel that I would like to be my own friend, which is kind of, you know, it's cool.
Too.
I would be happy to be my own friend because I knew I could trust me.
Well, I mean,
and I know that I wouldn't stab me in the back or the front. I know that I wouldn't gossip about me. Like, there's things about myself that I've really worked on and worked towards that I value. And
but you understand that too more when you lose friends. Like, I've had friends in the past few years that have just fallen away, not intentionally, but sometimes they are intentional. Either they're walking away or I'm really noticing that they've just kind of gone a separate way, and I'm giving them kind of what they're giving me, less time. And I really see a lot of different people in me, and I see a lot of me in different people, not necessarily close friends or acquaintances, but I notice a certain pattern in human behavior, and it's too hard to put into words, but it's just a basic string. I can really feel, I can feel people's emotions, like almost as if they're polar opposite of mine. So if I'm feeling upset, I can really tell how much somebody's going to be there when they're doing well and they're still saying, "Hey, how are you doing?" Or it's the opposite way around. If I'm doing really well and somebody's not doing very good, I want them to like, for me to reach out of my shell. A lot of times, like, misery is kind of with misery. And a lot of times, happiness is kind of with happiness. And so I really like to see how different people react to each other when they're kind of polar opposites. That, to me, shows the true kind of a friend. So that's what I want to be to somebody. If I know somebody's having a bad day, I'm going to be there for them instead of either, A, dragging my crap into it, or kind of not even wanting to hear about it because I'm having such a good day. Do you know what I'm saying? I really like to see from an outside perspective as well as an inside perspective how people relate to each other on different levels, being on different levels. That was a mouthful, but it was all just coming to me.
So if you were to share with our listeners and with me, this is all new because we haven't rehearsed the show at all. We don't have any script that we're reading off of. This is all we wanting to speak from our hearts, and we want, you know, spirit to work through us to speak that which we're supposed to. Because this is about exchanging with you. I'm picking up a whole lot of things. This is weird because I'm picking up things from the listeners. And this is the sixth sensory stuff that we all have. And I'm getting a lot of things coming back. And I'm trying to sift through it. I'm trying to sift what it is. It's almost like to compartmentalize, because we've actually had one show in the past where I think we've only ever done live readings once. Is that true?
I think so.
Well, this feels as if I'm being called. It's like I'm this open. It's super open right now. I'm getting a lot of stuff from you guys. And what I'm getting, and this, you guys are going to be able to relate who it is. And I'm getting an extreme sense of loneliness from someone, and I can feel it, and I'm wanting to, we're talking about renewal, and a lot of times when we're coming from a place of loneliness where we feel that we don't matter, and I'm getting it's almost as if I can hear your questions, so almost like, well, I'm different, or things are different for me, or you don't get it, or nobody gets it. I'm getting all these questions. I don't know if you're too tapping in.
I'm kind of just holding the space.
Okay. And I can understand that because I've been in that place too. And we can actually very purposely isolate ourselves. And the winter time is a time when most of us isolate. I'm an isolator. I like my space. I think it's part of my creative process. I also have to be careful not to overindulge it, because then it becomes depression. And there's a difference between being isolated and rejuvenating yourself, whether it's just in mindful meditation or just being alone with yourself. I like to spend a lot of time alone. This is me. And I'm comfortable with myself. But when isolation becomes a little bit, I won't say dangerous, it's kind of the first word that comes to my mind, but when it becomes a place of, it's habitual and it's causing a disintegration of relationship, that's when we have to be wary. Because as I was saying, when we're coming out of winter, most of us are isolators because most of us, especially Canadians, are used to having winters and the cold, and we sort of, you know, here in Vancouver, we get rain, back east, they get snow. And so people just kind of, you know, go to their jobs, get back home and stay, you know, and stay in their cozy houses and do their thing because it's not really an outdoor, time, for us to be enjoying outdoor activities. But once spring comes about, many of us are just feeling that sort of like, ah, now I can go out, I could do this, I can mountain bike, I can hike, I can go swimming, I can go, you know, do all these things. And some of us still feel that we're in that place of isolation and that place of loneliness. And, you know, one thing, when we're feeling that, we do feel very alone and we feel very separate. And I think it's imperative that we jog ourselves, it's like taking yourself and forcing yourself to do something that you wouldn't normally do. And that is the time that you will be grateful that you did. But when you're in the time, when you're sitting in that space of feeling lonely, wanting to isolate, not wanting to connect, feeling depressed, feeling no sense of connection to yourself, to anything around you, feeling that depression, it's absolutely imperative that whatever you can do, even if you can just call someone and say, hey, can you come and get me and take me somewhere? Just do something different, because oftentimes just doing something different, going against what you normally do, is enough to kind of kickstart you into getting out of it. Sometimes it takes a sequence of that, of doing that. It's not just once that'll get you out of it. Sometimes it takes a sequence, and that's where we have to rely on the help of others. There's times when actually in depression and in loneliness, we are not the best person to rely on in terms of the wisest choices for ourselves. And it's imperative when we're in these places that we have the open-mindedness and the willingness to allow others that we trust into that place, whether it's a parent or a best friend or a lover, that we can say, hey, I'm having a tough time. I'm having a tough time. It's even hard for me to tell you this, and I probably won't tell anymore because I don't want to, but can you just help me out a bit? Can you maybe take me somewhere, take me on a hike, take me to the ocean? Get me out of this rut. Get me out of this routine, because I can't get myself out of it. And this is where I'm saying that it's not always about what we choose to become. It's a lot of times it's what we choose to be open to allowing others to help us become. And I think that that's imperative. Somebody out there needs to hear this. And I want you to feel that you are loved, that even if you don't feel loved, even if there's a sense that you don't feel worthy, I'm getting the emotion around it right now. I'm feeling the emotion. It's just getting the tingles, getting the lump in the throat. You are worthy, and you do matter. And it's imperative that you come to believe this. Now, sometimes it's just acting as if, and sometimes it's acting in the sense of allowing others to tell you how great you are. And even if you don't buy in or don't believe it, just be open to, I will one day perhaps believe this, that I truly am worthy, that I deserve respect, I deserve love, I'm worthy of love, I'm worthy of giving love. I had somebody suggest to me when I was at my lowest point that I was journaling every day. And this is another thing that I think is really important for people, including myself, to do, is to do a lot of writing. And I was journaling, and they were saying, well, Cheryl, you journal every day. I say, yes. And they said, well, at the end of your journal, I want you to, you know, write, I love you, Cheryl. And I said, oh, that's so stupid, right? Right away, I put a judgment on it. And they said, no, Cheryl, trust me. And I found I trusted her. I trusted her, even if my mind immediately was, first of all, judging it as stupid, you know, thinking it wasn't going to work, whatever. I started writing, I love you, Cheryl. And it wasn't that long until, you know, it was just became such a habit. And at first when I wrote I love you, Cheryl, at first it felt, ew, like, No, you don't. It's almost like I had this back talk. And eventually, you know, as I wrote, I love you, Cheryl, each day, I love you, Cheryl, I love you, Cheryl. Eventually it got to the point where it didn't feel so weird. That I was going, yeah, okay, I can kind of go with this. You know, this doesn't feel, I'm not getting that negative self-talk, you know, in rebuttal to this writing. And to the point where it actually was, I felt it, where I could feel the love, the self-love. I felt that appreciation for myself. I was grateful that I was looking after myself. I was grateful for the thing, for the talents that I had. I was grateful for the body that I live in. I was grateful. Like, so from going from a place of, it's all had to do with my willingness and my open-mindedness to someone's suggestion, because I certainly didn't think it would work. Everything in me said it wouldn't, but I was open enough to say, you know what? I'm going to trust this. I'm going to try it. If it doesn't, big deal. What's the big deal? You know, I wrote three words. What? It's not going to kill me, right? And I'm really grateful to her for that suggestion, because it's something that I still do. And it's just sort of that confirmation. And so this is where the renewal, when we talk about renewal, the renewal is also about our own mindset about ourselves. And I think it's imperative that your renewal is internal. Your renewal is something that it needs to come back to that sense of self-appreciation, self-love, self-acknowledgement, and then it goes outward. A lot of us kind of do the reverse. We think that, well, if I love my dog, if I love my husband or my wife, or if I love my mother or my brother, then that will help me feel better because they'll reflect back to me. Well, no. Of course you want that kind of love too, but if you don't have the foundation of the self-love, that renewal of self, that renewal of identifying and connecting to the divinity that you are, truly, nothing that you have to do to make yourself better. You just are great as you are. And just coming to that place of understanding and accepting and allowing yourself the process of it, because none of us can expect, when we have a mindset or a belief system that we have integrated into our lives for sometimes many of us many years, we can't expect an overnight change.
Well, of course not.
But I think it's essential that we believe, no matter what age you are, no matter what step in your life that you are, you know, where you are in terms of your career, in terms of your marriages, your relationships, anything. It doesn't matter where you are, what step you are, what age you are. Renewal can happen at any point in time. It's just about being open-minded and willing to step into that. So I was asking you earlier, I got this kind of psychic thing going on, so I addressed that. But I was asking you personally what you were feeling that you personally would share about renewing.
Well, I think that especially after the last month and a half that I've had a surgery.
Yeah.
I've had 2 weeks off work because of that.
Because if you were recuperating and...
Yeah, and then I've just been sparsely working this month because of spring break. The kids are on spring break. So I've just been trying to let go of my worry about money, let go about my worry about, you know, am I going to need another surgery? Hopefully I'm okay. To me, renewal is letting go. Because when you can't let yourself feel because you're worrying too much, and let yourself think because you're worrying too much, or just for whatever, it doesn't have to be worry, you can just be caught up in something. Letting go is renewal to me, and that's what I'm doing. Like, I'm just giving up fear, I'm giving up trying to control things, and to me that's a sense of renewal, because that's rejuvenation. When you're, you know, walking around completely enamored in something else and you're missing the present, that's one of the most damaging things. And, you know, renewal is not just getting something back or getting to keep something for longer, like a video.
Like renewing a library book,
yeah,
you mean?
Or a library book. But it's really, truly about reinvention, I think. And that's what I'm trying to do lately, is just reinvent the way I deal with things.
I think it's imperative, too. You talk about reinvention. I personally feel that the invention's already great.
Yeah.
You're great as you are. I'm great as I am. Everyone listening is great as they are.
Yeah.
Now, there's certain aspects of ourselves that we want to improve upon. And I think the biggest one for any of us is letting go of fear.
Yeah.
And that's a big one because we live in fear. Well, we're taught fear. You look at any newspaper, you look at, you know, you watch your television shows, the news, you know, even walking on the street, be careful, don't go at night, you know, don't do this, don't do that. There's so much fear that we're taught. And how do you unlearn that? And I think that's wonderful that you're sharing that about letting go and surrender because it's a lot easier to say than to actually do.
Oh, yeah.
We can talk about, oh, just let it go. Hey, just surrender to it. And it sounds fabulous in those words. But when you're actually surrendering to something that you can't quite see or perhaps comprehend, you know, you're going in a faith place.
Yeah, it's a total faith place.
It's a total faith place. And that means letting go without even seeing where you're letting it go to. But having the faith and trust that where it's going
is the right place.
Is not only the right place, but it's a better place than if you hung on to it and tried to control it yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's the same as, like, you not seeing where you're going. You know what I mean? Like, not knowing where you're letting it go to, but... It's about we're not really knowing where you're going either. I'm being okay with that.
Well, I think that's great.
Yeah.
So I think we're just going to give a commercial break here now. We'll come back and discuss.
And introduce we'll play a song too.
Yeah, we'll play a song when we come back. So we're just going to let you know a little bit about who's sponsoring us.
Girl Grooves, your Greater Vancouver and Whistler, BC area's premier female DJ duo. Let professional musicians and DJs Ash Ryan and Cheryl Catherine Smith bring their combined skills and musical expertise to your corporate, wedding, graduation, reunion, birthday party, anniversary, or any special occasion to ensure your event's complete success. Many have raved about their unique and fun-filled Name That Tune show, too. Log on to www.girlgrooves.com for more information on how Girl Grooves can help you make some marvelous memories. Girl Grooves, music really is their lives.
Yeah, well, we're back. We're here talking about renewal and regeneration on our spring show. We're live coming to you Sunday, March 23rd, 2014. If any of you wish to call in, you've got a few minutes left. If you have anything to add to our show, we'd love to hear from you. We're also wanting to share a couple of our songs, and they are very fitting. The fusion's fitting because it's about love, and we were talking earlier about the power of love to bring renewal and regeneration and rejuvenation.
Well, I think what we should do is, yeah, let's play the fusion. We'll give them suspense on next week.
Sure.
Yeah, so let's roll the fusion whenever you're ready, Dawn and
Doug.
And we've got Doug now.
Yeah,
and,
hey, Doug.
Hey, Doug, and let us know how you like the song.
Universe encompasses me. Beneath the stars above the sea, enthralled on Earth watching you, knowing I have a part in this too. Faithlessly watching, wait for dim eyes, severing my old earthly disguise. Enthralled on Earth watching you, knowing we have a part in this too. This is a world of illusion, so I honor all delusion. Be not valid with exclusion. Bring all love in for the fusion. Watch the wind blow power out, stronger than what we were about. And to me, the forgotten thieves rest upon these autumn leaves. Angelic hosts be known to us, falling faster than we trust. Watch the circles born of light, speaking while we're all up all night.
We live in a world of illusion. It serves us, yet we must come back to love. For the love revolution is within each and every one of us. A knowing, a higher understanding. We all embrace it. All we have to do is accept the love infusion and say yes.
From that wondrous break called the fusion.
That was wondrous.
I just Q-tipped my ear and ate a hickory stick chip.
There you go. Yeah. See, don't you wish this was video?
No, I don't.
You
I'm
can
wearing,
see her putting a Q-tip in her ear
I never
and
wear,
chomping on a hickory stick.
I never wear shorts. I'm wearing shorts right now.
She's wearing shorts.
And I'm
hey,
wearing,
well, it's spring. It's shorts time.
No, it never is shorts time.
it's
warm.
Shorts, it's shorts time when you go for a swim. Right?
Yes.
It's shorts time.
That's true.
So the fusion, love, the importance of love. I truly believe with all my heart that love is the only thing that will save us. And sometimes it's hard to love. I come from a personal place of, it's the thing that I feel personally, I love all but don't like all.
Well, speaking of, this is exactly what you're going to say, and I'm not meaning to jump in, but Fred Phelps died.
Yes.
From the Westboro Baptist Church.
We talked about them a couple times in our
and,
shows.
The church as a whole
so much hatred
is
from
putrid,
that church.
Disgusting, horrible.
Well, they're very hateful.
But a lot of people that they were protesting, like a lot of like the GLBT community and things like that, they're, instead of basically saying good riddance, whatever, they're actually, like, holding up signs at the guy's funeral or in front of their church or whatever that says, sorry for your loss.
Wow.
And stuff like that, which I think is super powerful, but I also think that there's a lot of power in saying good riddance. Because I am beyond happy that the basic, I don't know, heart of that.
The heart of the hatred.
Hatred has, you know, left us. But, I mean, all the veins pumping from that heart now and the sewer system of shit, of that kind of horrible, horrible mindset, that's still going on. But I do think that meeting the hatred with some love, that's the only way to possibly crack a bit of it.
It is, because even Gandhi said that, is that you cannot fight hatred with hatred. And
so,
Martin Luther King talked about that.
But what side would you be on? Would you be on the sorry for your loss side, or would you be on the good riddance side?
I'd be on both. Quite honestly, I am on both. I would, you know, it's really challenging. I don't think I'd say good riddance about a person. I would say good riddance to that person's belief systems, to the
yeah.
poison that they brought.
Yeah.
When you're actually saying good riddance about a soul, about a human being who, even if he was like Hitler, causing a lot of destruction and damage and hatred, still very much a human being who meant something to some people. So it's connecting to the people that he meant or she meant too. Do you understand? Yeah. So for me, it's not as easy to say good riddance, not to their face. I guess behind the scenes when I'm venting, I'd say, ah, it's such a great riddance.
Well,
but when I was actually having to actually show up and say to a group full of people, in all honesty, I would say that this is a sad thing for some of you. It's a good thing in terms of the poison this man was fostering. I would also say that this man now knows, being on the other side of it, now that he has died, he recognizes the mistakes he's made. But those are things that most people don't understand to be true until they actually pass away and find out for themselves. So most people don't have that connection to the other side.
Well, I just think it's a classic case of hating what you don't understand or also hating what truly you are.
I do think that I honestly believe that Fred Phelps was a homosexual. I believe that he had homosexual experiences, and perhaps they were they weren't pleasant ones. Like, he might have had some, maybe he was raped, which I hope not, because that's the worst thing to happen to someone, one of the worst things. But I do feel strongly that that was where he was coming from. He had an incident that made him turn so hateful. And you know that a lot of the Christian churches already believe, they take out these Bible verses and say that being a homosexual is a sin against God and on, we won't get into that. But so that would be his sort of jumping off point. If he was a homosexual, or he had a negative experience, although he might have that propensity, but he had a negative experience around it, then he would naturally feel that he has to destroy it. And so how do we destroy things? We become hateful. But when we foster that kind of hatred, it is so insidious. And I do believe that it lends to our disease, our demise, our spiritual demise. And that kind of hatred is destructive. So we can be hateful towards him for being hateful. And we can obviously have our feelings around it, because we do. I mean, when someone is that hateful towards a human being, it's very disconcerting. But you also recognize, wow, his hatred is enough to kill him himself. You know, we kind of think that he's causing a lot of harm, but who's he causing the most harm is to himself.
Well,
most people don't see that in hatred. They think that it's hurting the other person, but it's not. Really.
I just basically think there's going to be millions more people out there like him. It's unfortunate, but
hope not. I hope that we transcend this. This is our hope.
This is our renewal.
Global renewal.
I think it's a good thing that we kind of killed the godhead of the horrible group.
Well, just like people were really happy when Hitler died.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same kind of thing. When someone who has shamelessly caused a lot of death and destruction, then you're not, you know, you're actually pretty glad they're not here, because you don't want any more death and destruction. But you have to recognize that they still are, although we don't want to, many of us don't want to believe and recognize that they're still human souls, and there's value there too, although they made darker, poorer choices. So they obviously weren't ones who were up for renewal, meaning a renewal in light and love. They were more about just, they had to work something out for themselves and unfortunately cause a lot of destruction.
Well, hopefully he's somewhere being renewed right now.
Well, I think it's going to take him some time. I don't think it's going to be an overnight job for him either on the other side.
Yeah.
So that's something. Like, let's just hope that his death will actually make it easier for a lot of people. But I also think that when you saw such hatred, the benefit of his life was that a lot of people said, this is not okay. And so his extreme hatred brought out a lot of people saying, you must stop this. This is not okay. So maybe we can look at it in that way, that it brought out things in people that otherwise they wouldn't have said a thing. They would have just lied dormant. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, perhaps it just made people more revolutionary. And that's a beautiful thing. If we're being revolutionaries for love, if we're being revolutionaries for peace and for harmony here, then that's a really great thing.
Agreed.
So on that note, I'd like to thank you for joining us here on the Hologram Radio Show. Thank you to our listeners. We send you lots of love.
We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks. And we were talking about it during the song. We're going to do some live readings. So in 2 weeks, we're going to do readings for you. And
is it 2 weeks? Or I think there's going to be one Sunday, April 6th. Is that next Sunday?
I don't know.
There's one Sunday, and it'll either be this coming week. I will actually tell you. Talk to them for 1 second.
I am talking to them 1 second. Anyways, our next live show, we will be doing readings. We will welcome your calls in if you'd like a personal reading, but we'll also be doing readings because we're picking up on you guys anyway. We'll just do readings for you.
We are not live. We're going to be in Seattle.
All right. So we're 2 weeks from today. We're going to be gone. We have something to do, but we will be live in 4 weeks. So 4 weeks today, we will be doing live readings. Mark that on your calendars. Call in. We'd love to give you a personal reading. We send you love. Kiss a tree. Chat with you soon.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.